This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Motor and Auto Group, Golf Cars of Iowa, Jeremy Dingaman Concrete, and Knoxville Raceway. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you'd like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Fire and Rescue, Every Step Home Care and Hospice, Sparks Auto, and Two Rivers Cooperative. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one soon-to-retire police chief have to share with us? In the third part of a 10-part series on public safety, let's go in-depth with Knoxville Police Chief Dan Lasada. So, Chief, rumor is you're going to retire soon.
It's no rumor. It's the truth. I will be retiring sometime before July 1st of this year.
You're not going to pinpoint it any sooner than that?
No, I have my own reasons for holding off on notifying people. I have told the city manager that I'll give him at least 60 days and maybe 90 days notice. So we'll see. I have a timetable set up in my head that I'm going to stick to.
All right. Well, I won't pry any further. When did you start in Knoxville?
It was 15 years ago last week.
Well, all right. Where did you get your start?
I have an interesting schedule or career in that regard. I went to school in Rochester, New York for criminal justice. Graduated in 1982 and started looking for a job. And at that time, there were no jobs in the northeastern United States. So I ended up taking a job in a town called Liberal, Kansas. Southwest corner of the state, time was about population 12,000. And it was a very nice place to start as my career. They even started out a pay of higher than average. So I thought, great. And I worked in Liberal for 8 years. And then in 1990, I moved up to Hastings, Nebraska. That's part of the central part of the state, a little bit bigger community. And I stayed there for 12 years. I was very fortunate when I was there. The last chief I worked for was a mentor to me, took me under his wing, got me some advanced training, and then pushed me out the door and said, you need to be a chief somewhere. So in 2002, he pushed me out the door, and I ended up as the chief of police in Boone, Iowa. I was in Boone for 15 months. We didn't work out. So some of my ideas were not what they wanted, so we left there. And I've been in Knoxville, Iowa ever since. I started here in January of 2005.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Verduft Agency, Pella Regional Health Center, the Pella Police Department, and Pella Cooperative Electric. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Pella Corporation, Mahaska Bottling, Precision Inc., and Hearthstone, a ministry of Wesley Life.
I continued my conversation with Knoxville Police Chief Dan Lasada. Well, it must have been a good move for you then.
Coming down to Knoxville was one of the better things. I originally expected to be here 3 or 4 years, and now I'm talking to you 15 years later.
Yeah. Do you have a philosophy of, well, both policing, but then also of management?
Oh, yeah. My job as chief of police is to get the people below me trained to the point where they don't need me. I should be dispensable. I should be able to leave and not have to worry about what's going to happen. When I first came here, that wasn't the case. I got a lot of calls at late night, people wanting advice, information on how to do something. But the last several years, I rarely get those midnight phone calls, so I must have done something right. We've trained our people, give them the right to make their own decisions and enforce the rules and regs as they see fit, and then let me know about it the next day. I'm still there if they're at a loss for what to do, or they wanted a final approval. But I give my people the ability to make their own decisions and to go forward and with cases in the way they think is best.
But it means you have to hire the right people that are willing to do that.
Yes, it does. And it also means I have to have supervisors that are out there that are keeping an eye on things and making sure that things are going properly. But it all starts with initial hiring and training, and that's what we're having the biggest problem with right now. Our recruitment and retention across law enforcement in the United States is the biggest issue, and it's harder and harder to find good people. Right now, we're hiring, as you are well aware. We just announced our testing date, which is going to be next month. And we had 28 applicants for the position. My first year here, when we had our first opening, we had over 70 applicants for that first position we all advertised. So in 15 years, we've cut our number of possible recruits way down. And some of the recruits that applied are not going to be hired. They have criminal backgrounds or things in their backgrounds that prevent them from being hired as a police officer. And, you know, in the past, I've even had felons apply for a position as a police officer. They can't legally carry a gun, but they applied for a police officer's job.
Well, they must not know that, or why would they do that?
My best guess is they were on unemployment and wanted to meet the requirement for that. So, and I don't know if any of the applications we got this time are for people like that.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Culver's of Pella, Marion County Bank, Vanderbeek Photography, and Shomo Madsen Umbel Insurance in Prairie City. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you'd like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, the Pella Hy-Vee, Pella Feed Service, Larman's Outdoor and More, and Don Cron, CPA.
I continued my conversation with Knoxville Police Chief Dan Lasada.
What makes a good police officer?
You have to be self-confident. You have to have a good head on your shoulders and understand people. Our job is to seek voluntary compliance. We have all these rules, laws, and whatnot, and a police officer's job is to make sure people voluntarily comply with those laws. If they don't voluntarily comply, we have to entice them to comply. And sometimes we do that with a warning, sometimes we do that with a citation, and sometimes we do that with an arrest. So you have to be able to have a good head on your shoulders to make those decisions. Having a little background in psychology helps, because we're dealing with people, and people are very strange. No two are the same.
Not all of us are strange.
Oh, we're all strange. I'm looking out the window right now, and we're in another one of our snowstorms, and only fools and idiots are out driving in this weather, and I tell everyone I'm the president of both those clubs.
I once interviewed a poet who was a decorated officer in either Afghanistan or Iraq, and I said, "Were you a good officer?" And he said, "No." He said, "There's got to be something where you think and react in just the right way. If you react too fast, that's a big mistake. If you react too slow, that could be an even bigger mistake. And a good officer has to know where that sweet spot is in the middle of it." I presume it's the same in police work.
He's a very wise man. That's quite true. An interesting story about my history. I have an older brother and a younger sister. And when my brother and I graduated high school, our parents gave us each a pocket watch as a graduation present with a one-word inscription on it. And the one word was the thing that my parents thought we both most needed to work on. Mine was patience. Mm-hmm. I still carry that pocket watch with me on special occasions, just to remind myself, I have to slow down. The example you just gave, that's my biggest issue. As a younger person, especially a younger officer, I rushed headlong into things I should have stepped back from. and taken that beat or two to consider options and do things. I'm trying to impart that wisdom upon my new troops, the people below me. They're the reason, if I'm successful, they're the reason for it. So I have to teach them some of the tricks that these old dogs have and temper their eagerness and make sure they're doing things the smart way instead of the fastest way.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't really know until the incident is over, right?
A lot of times you don't. I look back on things I've done throughout my career, and I've been a police officer since 1982, and there are a lot of things I wish I had done differently on a given scene. But based upon what I knew at the time, I handled it well, I think, most of the time. You know, armchair quarterbacking is healthy in that it makes you think about what you're going to do the next time. You should not armchair quarterback what you've done in the past and then condemn yourself for that. That's armchair quarterbacking is how you learn for the future, not for judging how you did in the past.
Okay, so you have to put those behind you so they don't burden you.
Exactly right. You think about things that went wrong for you in an incident. How can I keep that from happening in the future? Yes, maybe I got hurt, maybe somebody else got hurt because I made a bad decision. I can worry about that the rest of my life, or I can say, take that experience and say, I'm not going to let that happen again. The next time something similar happens, I'm going to be smart enough to handle it in a way where no one gets injured and everyone gets to go home.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Ulrich's Meat Market, Norm Rosendahl Tiling Inc., VHR Used Cars, and Jersey Freeze in Monroe. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, the Pella Fairway, Vandenbroek Concrete, Edward Jones Offices in Pella, Stan Drywall at 629-1728, and Lighten State Bank.
I continued my conversation with Knoxville Police Chief Dan Lasada.
Tell me of a time when you were frightened.
So many.
Yeah.
I had a call of a gentleman that had some mental health issues that we were looking for. He had run away from a group home, and we were trying to locate him. And we've dealt with him in the past and never had any serious issues with him in the past. But finally, I located him at a location, and while I'm talking to them, the dispatcher came over the radio, my portable radio, and said, you need to take him to this certain place, which is a place he did not want to go. So he immediately took off running. And now I'm in a foot pursuit. I don't like chasing people. Mm-hmm. But I'm chasing him, and as I started chasing him, I yelled at him to stop, and surprise, surprise, he stopped. He turned around, reached in his pocket, pulled out a knife, opened the blade, and started running at me. This is where the fear kicks in. I immediately draw my weapon, and I challenge him, tell him stop. And in split seconds, I'm doing 300 things, including drawing the line when he crossed that line, I was going to have to take possibly deadly action. And he's running at me with his fist up, knife in his hand, and I'm yelling at him, and I'm just starting to put pressure on the trigger, and he stops. And the reason he stops is my backup finally arrived, driving cross country across a field and aiming right at the guy with his squad car. And the kid stopped, turned around, and ran the other way. We chase him down, get him confined in an area, and eventually take him into custody with no incidents. This happened beginning of the summer in a schoolyard. And I thought, you know, in my mind as I'm playing through this scenario, I had picked my backdrop, which was the back wall of the school building, knowing that if I'd missed, I was going to hit the school building and didn't have to worry about it. It's summer, no one's in school, and everything's going well. About 2 weeks later, I'm talking to a friend that's a teacher, and she says, yeah, there was all kinds of excitement at the school a couple weeks ago. I go, what are you talking about? Says, yeah, there was all this excitement, all these squad cars outside yelling and screaming. We were just taking our kids out for break, and we saw that. We decided we better stay in. I said, what do you mean? There's no summer school there. Oh, yeah, we started summer school there this year.
Wow.
So I had the initial fear of a guy running at me with a knife. And then a couple weeks later, I got a whole new set of fears because what I thought was going to be the ideal safe place to take the shot if I had to, I was wrong. I'm grateful that to this day, I've never had to fire my gun in anger. But I think back of the times I've put pressure on the trigger and what would happen if I had missed.
Are you going to miss it when you retire?
Of course I'm going to miss it when I retire. What I'm not going to miss is gaining 26 pounds every morning when I get ready to come to work. By the time I put my boots on and my vest on and my gun belt on and all the other equipment, I gain 26 pounds. I'll be glad to stop doing that. The vest I wear, and I've worn it every day I've been in uniform on the streets, is very hot. Especially when I was in Kansas, when I was working day shift in the summer, when the average temperatures were 102, 103, I'd go home at lunchtime and have to change my uniform because I was soaking wet. And this vest held all that moisture and wetness against the body. It was crazy. I'll be glad not to have to wear a vest again.
You'll miss the action?
I'll miss the action. I'll miss the insight I have into what's going on in the community. I'm in a unique position. I know a lot of what's going on, both on the political level and at the street level. I know where we have issues with possible drug issues and where we have people that are domestic batterers that people have no idea about. You know, it was a huge eye-opening for me when I walked into the first dungeon in a community like Knoxville, walking to someone's house for a call and finding they had a dungeon in their basement for their amusement. And thinking about that, and people would never believe me if I said whose house it was. And I never tell anyone, of course.
Wow.
And that's the other fun part of this job, or stressful part of this job. I've seen things, I've done things, I've had things happen that I can never tell people about. I'm not going to tell you about the specifics of things that we've gone through. I can give you a generality, like that somebody has a dungeon in their basement. But you're never going to find out the rest. And while that's a funny one, some of the sorry things I've seen are going to live with me forever. I've had a baby die in my arms. I did CPR on my father-in-law. Those hurt.
Thanks to Chief Dan Losada for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.